Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Titans taking on the Green Bay Packers on Sunday at Nissan Stadium. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Matt Schneidman, who covers the Packers for The Athletic, also hosts the Matt Schneidman Show. Matt, good morning. How are we doing?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Really good. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, Matt, the game plan for the Packers on Sunday against Indy, obviously they ran the ball a ton, ran it from pretty much every different way you can run the ball imaginable, 53 times. Malik Willis was efficient in the passing game, 12 of 14. What did you make of the game plan that Matt LaFleur put together against Indy, and how replicable do you think that is if Malik Willis is going again on Sunday?
Yeah, I thought it was a really solid game plan. I think a lot of credit should go to offensive coordinator Adam Stenovich. He doesn't call plays, obviously, with Matt LaFleur calling plays, but he's in charge of putting together the run plan for the week. And everybody knew the Packers were going to run the ball with Malik Willis at quarterback. With, you know, Josh Jacobs ran it 32 times. I think they ran it 53 times altogether, 164 yards in the first quarter alone, which was the most in any quarter for any team since the 2011 Denver Broncos. But just the variety of looks they presented, you know, they had wide receivers in the backfield, they had outside zone runs, they had misdirection, they had fake end arounds to inside zone runs. Like, it was a very diverse plan that kept the Colts on their toes, and you're going to have to keep switching that up against the Titans, because now that you put it on tape, teams are going to know what's coming, and that's the challenge to replicating it if Malik Willis starts his second game. And I hope Jordan Love's healthy. I'm not wishing bad health on the kid, but a Malik Willis quote-unquote revenge game, even though he insists there's no chip on his shoulder, would be a great storyline this weekend.
No question about it. Yeah, so what do you think, Matt, in terms of Jordan Love? It sounds like maybe Minnesota is a more realistic possibility for him.
It seems that way. Jordan didn't practice at all last week, and Matt LaFleur said on Monday that ideally Love would practice this week if he were to play on Sunday, just because of the time he's missed. But Diana Russini for us at The Athletic reported that week four is probably the most likely return date at home against the Vikings. Packers hope he can return this week, but that might be more of a pipe dream. I mean, he was questionable, and it seems from the outside that was more gamesmanship this past week. But listen, Matt LaFleur told the team media department that he would consider Love's knee injury more day-to-day than anything. So if he was day-to-day last week, you'd have to think this week would be in contention. But I still think Malik starts on Sunday.
So what were your impressions of Malik and what you saw from him on Sunday? Obviously, 12 of 14. You know, they didn't ask him to do a ton, a lot of quick passes. He did throw a couple down the field, great catch by Romeo Doubs down the field at a big-time play in the fourth quarter. But overall, what did you make of Malik Willis and his performance on Sunday?
Yeah, he did what he had to do. Obviously, nothing spectacular. He was 12 for 14 for 122 and a touchdown. His best throw, I thought, was the touchdown throw where he got it past Kenny Moore, the Colts, I think he made the Pro Bowl last year, corner to Dontavian Wicks on the far sideline, and really fitted in a tight window an inch slower. And it's a pick six the other way. So he did what he had to do. He scrambled a little bit with his legs. I think he had six scrambles for 40-something yards or something like that. Matt LaFleur, after the game, was very complimentary of how Malik had command of the offense, the stuff that doesn't show up on the stat sheet. They had a lot of long play calls, a lot of shifts, a lot of motions, a lot of funky run plays, and Malik had a good command of that. He'd been there for 19 days before he had to start, and that's the big reason why he got the lone game ball after the game. You know, Josh Jacobs ran 32 times for 151. The defense stepped up. But Malik Willis got the game ball as a show of, you know, we appreciate just how much you learned in your short time here to help this offense run. So was he the best player on the field on Sunday? No, I don't think so. But he certainly did enough to make the engine run. And I think with another week in the system, maybe they let him air it out a little bit more on Sunday.
Yeah, it's a great story for sure. And I think, you know, anybody here who was around him, you know, certainly feels good for him. I mean, he always handled everything really well here. But you mentioned Josh Jacobs. The Packers have had a really good running game for a while with different guys. But Josh Jacobs was a guy I was really interested in this year. Like, how, you know, where is he in his career? He has been one of the best backs. Is he still, you know, how much tread still on the tires? Obviously, last week was a great performance. Is this what you've been seeing? I mean, is he, how good is he right now? And how, what kind of a season are we talking about with Josh Jacobs here?
Yeah, and he left a touchdown on the table because he fumbled on the 2-yard line with a chance to put the Packers up 17-0, and the Colts recovered in the end zone. So I'm sure he's lamenting that. But Josh Jacobs' 32 carries were the most for any Packer since 2008. And he is a true workhorse back, and that's kind of what they had in mind when they signed him and, in essence, exchanged Aaron Jones for him this offseason. He's more than 3 years younger than Aaron Jones. Jones was phenomenal, a future Packers Hall of Famer, but he's not as durable. He never carried that many times. His career high might have been like 25. I might be underselling that, but they really like what Josh can do in the pass game and also the run game. And just in the short time that he's been here, you can just see his quickness in tight spaces, his burst. He really is a true bell cow back, I think. And last year with the Raiders, he said there were some, you know, he didn't say offensive line issues straight up, but there were some offensive line issues. You know, he had some injury issues himself, some uncertainty with the quarterback position, his contract situation. So that's why he kind of fell off after that 2022 first team All-Pro season. But from what I've seen, he can get right back to that level, I think.
Matt Schneidman with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Matt, five takeaways from the Packers the first couple of weeks. Obviously, Jeff Hafley coming in as the new DC. McKinney with a couple of picks already on the back end there. What do you make of the different style of defense that the Packers are playing with this year? And obviously, Will Levis here in Nashville had a couple of brutal turnovers in the first 2 weeks. What do you make of the opportunity in front of the Packers defense to maybe try to confuse Levis this week?
Yeah, Matt LaFleur put it simply with us the other day, and he said the reason we're getting so many takeaways is because we're playing with vision as opposed to last year. And it might seem simple, but it's working. And the Packers had 7 interceptions all of last season. They already have 5 through 2 games. Xavier McKinney has 1 in each game, their high-priced free agent signing, the safety from the Giants. So that's why I think Will could maybe be in some trouble considering some of the turnovers he's had in the first 2 weeks. But then again, you never know in this league. I think this defense flaunted in the preseason their ability to get after the quarterback, put their hand in the dirt up front with a different front than they ran under the former defensive coordinator, Joe Barry. But they haven't really gotten after the quarterback in the first 2 weeks with only 3 sacks. But that's in part because they've kind of just stuck to a more disciplined rush plan to keep Jalen Hurts and Anthony Richardson in the pocket. They haven't really tried to get upfield too much just to keep him in the pocket. I think that could change with Levis. I know he can scramble a little bit, but he's not quite a Jalen Hurts or an Anthony Richardson. So you might see maybe some more pressure on the quarterback, maybe some more sacks and TFLs. But the Packers know that you can't underestimate anybody. I think back to last season when they reeled off 3 straight wins, the latter 2 being against the Lions and Chiefs late in the season, and then they go to New York and lose to Tommy DeVito and the Giants. So this can't be a letdown for them. Obviously, it's very early in the season, so it's not a similar situation. They just beat the Colts, not the Lions and the Chiefs. But I think it should be maybe a closer game than people maybe here in Green Bay envision.
So, Matt, I'd like to know about the approval rating right now for Packers fans for Matt LaFleur, because my co-host is a Packers fan who has been a little bit too critical, I would say, of LaFleur at times, but has now promised to celebrate him for the rest of his life after watching that game in person in Lambeau last year. I mean, what does Packer Nation feel about Matt LaFleur? Was that his masterpiece last week?
Yeah, I think so. I think the approval rating is very high right now. At times, it has been lower. It's probably the lowest in the 2020 NFC Championship game when they were down 8 against Tom Brady and the Buccaneers, and they went for a field goal from the 8-yard line on 4th down instead of the touchdown. But Matt LaFleur still defends that decision till this day. I think it's pretty high right now, especially coming off what he did with Jordan Love in year 1 last season, and especially after what he and the Packers did with Malik Willis. Matt LaFleur is a really good coach. He was never going to get the credit that he deserved with Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. I think he finished. Did he finish second to Mike Vrabel in the Coach of the Year voting that one year?
I might be mistaken.
Yeah, I think so. He's a really good coach, and I think he has this team going places. A Super Bowl would obviously put him over the top. They've been close. They've been to the NFC Championship game in each of his first two seasons as head coach, and then they went to the playoffs and then missed the playoffs, and then last year, obviously, a surprise playoff appearance. He kind of got a fresh slate with Jordan Love because, as I said, he's never going to get the credit he deserves with Rodgers as his quarterback, but I think the approval rating is pretty high around here.
I've always loved Matt LaFleur. I don't know what Rex Rudd's talking about. Matt, really appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and looking forward to seeing you on Sunday.
Thanks, guys. See you on Sunday.
Matt Schneidman from The Athletic, our guest on Robbie and Rex Show. We'll react to what Matt had to say. Continue to look ahead to the Titans and the Packers. Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the program as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.